Hi, this is Jenny, and you're listening to the Public Health Advocate podcast. The Public Health Advocate is an undergraduate-led publication at the University of California, Berkeley, covering current public health issues with local, national, and international perspectives. This is our pilot episode, and thank you for tuning in. We're glad to have you for these next few minutes. Today, we'll be discussing how, even as restrictions go away, long COVID is here to stay. After over a year of lockdown, Governor Gavin Newsom lifted COVID-19 restrictions on June 15th. With proof of vaccination, California residents are now allowed to engage in pre-pandemic activities such as indoor dining and concert going without masks or social distancing. For thousands of long haulers, however, the pandemic is far from over. Long haulers, or individuals with long COVID or post-acute sequelae of SARS-CoV-2, experience COVID-19 complications beyond 2 to 3 weeks, such as chronic fatigue, brain fog, and other symptoms that impact their ability to work and thrive.
Sidi Nagamutu was 44 years old and a personal trainer in New York when she got COVID in March. She was able to recover at home, and when she tested negative in May, she thought her life would return to normal. It hasn't.
There are days where I do nothing and just can't get out of bed. The migraines, they're like 10 times worse than a flu headache. Pains, like muscular issues, and there are some times where my hands feel like they have pins and needles, and I have to stop using them because I can't feel anything.
Nitza loved to run. 3 years ago, she completed the New York City Marathon, and the following year, Berlin. At 43, she was training for another race when she got infected.
This is slight unsteadiness. Mm-hmm.
Now, she tells us she has trouble walking more than a few blocks down the street.
Several studies suggest that approximately one-third of patients with COVID-19 symptoms don't fully recover after 6 months. The growing number of long haulers has led to the creation of more post-COVID care centers. As of September 28th, 46 states have at least one care center, with 15 located in California. At these care centers, long COVID patients work with doctors like Dr. Bradley Sandville, a critical care pulmonologist working at UC Davis's post-COVID-19 clinic, to devise specialized treatment plans.
If they have post-COVID-associated myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart muscle, they're going to see a cardiologist. So if there's headaches, they're going to see a neurologist. You know, it always kind of depends. So patients might see more than one doctor. The treatment plans are pretty varied. I mean, it depends on what the issue is.
Running these clinics comes with challenges. The UC Davis clinic receives thousands of referrals, yet, as of July, has only around 6 doctors. Additionally, with the lack of national long COVID data and ongoing clinical trials, it's still unclear what directly causes long COVID symptoms.
For a lot of these patients, there's no obvious treatment plan. Nobody knows what the issue is, so it's hard to know how to treat anything if you know what the problem is. I'm certainly not just throwing experimental treatments at people without some data behind it. There's no like good randomized control trials that say, well, these treatments are good for X, Y, and Z. This is what you should do. And until that stuff comes out, you're kind of limited, unless you can identify something that is more obvious to be treated.
Doctors are scrambling to understand the symptoms and causes of long COVID, resulting in disappointing clinic visits for many long haulers since the pandemic's onset. Long haulers shared their frustrations and other unsavory physician-patient interactions within Body Politic, an international support group of patients and chronic illness allies. Soon after, long haulers like Lisa McCorkle, founding member of Patient-Led Research Collaborative, or PLRC, decided to do their own research.
It was just very clear at that point that none of our doctors knew what was going on. None of our doctors could give us really any information or any treatment options. And there was just this like wealth of knowledge that was being shared within the support group. But no real like systematic way of organizing it and trying to figure out what the commonalities are between people. and are certain treatments helpful for people? Just like, I felt like it wasn't really organized. And if we could maybe organize it, we could also prove to ourselves that this was an issue and prove to the outside world that this was an issue.
Several members created what became the first long COVID study titled, What Does COVID-19 Recovery Actually Look Like? The individuals administering the survey and analyzing the data then formed the PLRC, focusing on conducting and sharing their long COVID research.
And that was the first report on long COVID that had been done. And I think the best part of that, I think, was more, it really validated a lot of people's experiences, being able to see it reflected in 640 other people, and just made it seem like, okay, this is an actually real thing, because so many of us had been gaslit by our doctors and told that, no, like you are recovered from COVID. It's just all in your head that you're experiencing these symptoms.
As of October, the collaborative has since published 6 reports total and is currently conducting follow-up surveys on vaccine experiences, antibody test results, neurological, cardiovascular, and systemic long COVID symptoms, and long COVID's impact on mental health. Outside of their research, the team serves as consultants for the World Health Organization, CDC, and post-COVID-19 clinics. For McCorkle, seeing world-renowned public health agencies incorporate the researchers' feedback on their long COVID guidelines and knowing that their additions will lead to so much better care for patients was emotional and very rewarding.
Given that we're not funded, we're tired, we're sick, we're overworked, it can often seem like, you know, are we just kind of like shouting into the ether and no one is even really listening and none of this matters? And seeing something like that come through and knowing how hard we worked on it, it just is very, very rewarding to see.
McCorkle, along with the other PLRC members, does research and consulting work on top of her full-time job as a CalFresh policy analyst for the California Department of Social Services. Her 40-plus hour work week, unsustainable for many long haulers enduring chronic exhaustion and other health complications, raises questions about how long COVID could change workplace accommodations and benefits.
I'm very hopeful that long COVID and COVID generally will change the future of work. It's going to take a lot of work and intention in order to normalize the accommodations that we've seen over the last year. But I think that it is one of the most important things that we can do, because there are so many people with long COVID who have been able to continue working because they are able to work remotely. And for the people who have the ability, you know, if they have an understanding employer, if they're able to get the accommodations that they need, things like flex time, things like, you know, changing the role that they have so that they're not standing all day. Maybe they have the opportunity to sit. They're doing more of a desk job. People that are able to get those accommodations are more likely to stay in their job.
Current legislation, including a new law passed that would provide 80 hours of COVID-related sick leave, is probably not enough for people suffering from long-term conditions, according to Laura Stock, Director of the Labor Occupational Health Program at the University of California, Berkeley.
The other benefit that is sometimes available but difficult to exercise is workers' compensation, that if people are able to demonstrate that they were exposed to COVID on the job, then they're theoretically, or they should be entitled to workers' compensation that could then also trigger some benefits associated with returning to work and accommodations if they never recover fully. So there are some systems that would provide a little bit of a safety net for folks in that kind of situation, but I just recognize that that safety net is not very strong, and it's hard to access those laws, and I'm sure that there's need to strengthen them to support people in that position.
On top of this, she says, long COVID could also disproportionately jeopardize low-income workers.
I think in general, people don't have access to sufficient sick leave, and there's still many, many workers, or if they work part-time, or they work multiple jobs, or they're gig workers, or any number of things, who have very little sick leave, and also, you know, their healthcare benefits are very limited.
With long haulers struggling to push for increased healthcare coverage, workplace accommodations, and disability benefits, policies such as loosening the mask mandate and lifting COVID-19 restrictions seem detrimental, especially as we see recurring spikes in cases and a new COVID strain emerge in the Bay Area. According to McCorkle, these policies are putting a lot of people at risk who are used to being ignored and not taken seriously.
I also was hopeful COVID and long COVID would change our value of our communities that are most at risk. And I think that this type of policy change shows that we really don't. We really haven't changed what we value.
Dr. Sandville cautions college students who may be less careful about wearing masks or see long COVID as an irrelevant issue.
The after effects tend to be affecting a relatively young crowd of people, college age kids included. And for a lot of people, it's been a pretty profound change in their life. While statistically, people are not likely to develop these things, the effect that I'm seeing on people is pretty awful. I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
This marks the end of our first podcast episode of The Public Health Advocate. Thank you again for tuning in, and we hope you learned something new. Audio excerpts not from interviews conducted with Dr. Bradley Sandville, Lisa McCorkle, or Laura Stock come from 60 Minutes and their episode on post-acute COVID-19 syndrome, COVID long haulers suffering symptoms months after initial diagnosis. Music used in this podcast include Hello, an Automobile, composed by Crowander. If you have thoughts or feedback on what we talked about, or if you're interested in getting involved, please feel free to email us at publichealthadvocate@gmail.com. Until next time.